Blog. Hello and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. Welcome all of you in the chat that I see already, and welcome all listening via iTunes and listening live via cosmicdimensions.com. I want to welcome you all with much love, much peace and light in my heart. It's wonderful to connect with all of you. Awakenings Radio highlights conscious living for conscious lives. It's a live internet program that focuses on spiritual unfoldment in all its forms. Awakenings is a place for awakening conversations with artists, musicians, metaphysicians, spiritually minded people, and progressive thinkers in their own fields that are waking up, are awake, and awakening more and more, revealing and reflecting their awakening through their way of being in the world. And this is a place where we dialogue and we share our insight, our understanding, and the steps that we've walked upon the path. So I want to welcome you all to Awakenings. I'm Michelle Mache, your host and fellow spiritual traveler and co-pilot for this hour and a half. Unbuckle your seatbelts! Those of you that have questions in the chat, you can type in caps so I can see it more easily, and those of you listening by phone, if you have a question or a comment, which we love, just press the star or press one, and you will be seen on my switchboard as having a question or a comment. So again, the number is 347-539-5122 for all of you new listeners. That's the number to call to listen by phone or to call if you have questions. And again, that's 347-539-5122. And again, if you have questions, just press 1 on the keypad. So lots of people coming in the program. Great to see all of you in the sacred space of empowerment, also known as the chat room. Or the spiritual playground, as Little Light likes to say, as Debbie says. It's our spiritual playground. I love that because, you know, play is extremely high vibration. When you're in the play, when you're playing in that moment, anything creative, when you're dancing, you're the dancer and the dance as one, when you're playing an instrument, when you're just playing in life, or, you know, playing on the playground, that has the same vibrational frequency as a deep meditation, you know, very relaxed meditation. So play is a very high vibrational frequency. And we all, as a collective, are moving more into that space of playing consciously. Yes. Light saying yes, and I heard you have sound and you heard your name. Hello. Hello, Senla. Hello, everyone. I wrote, those of you that are following me on Twitter, which is at Awakenings Tweet. By the way, I do want to change my Twitter name, so I'm going to put it out there for everyone. It's Awakenings Tweet. I got it because originally I had Michelle Mache, and then I just didn't know what, you have to have a name, you know. And I thought, that's too long. And then I thought something with Awakenings. So I don't know. If anybody has any ideas, if you will put it in the chat or, you know, text me or, you know, or email me at michelle@selfandlight.com or tweet me at Awakenings Tweet and say, you know, I have a better name. I just want something shorter because just so that it's easier, just less characters, less letters. So anyway, that out. And also, if you'd like to be on the mailing list, it's info@selfinlight.com, and that's S-E-L-F-I-N-L-I-G-H-T.com. And on Facebook, you can find us at Awakenings Radio. And really come by and just, you know, sign up, keep tabs on what we're doing, and share what you're doing. We had a wonderful video uploaded from Fiona, one of the listeners, which was very insightful, enlightening video. And, oh, I like that, Sylvia Awakened. She put, what dreams meant. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was really pretty amazing meaning to dreams from an Egyptian point of view. From Fiona Howard. In the language of ancient Egypt, the word for dream is rist, R-S-W-T, which means awakening. So it's when we had the dream session on last week, the dream analysis and dream interpretation. And so that was brilliant to let us know that, you know, the dream is, and you know, in a sense, we are in an awakened dream, right? We are awakening to this more consciousness in this dream state, if you will. So I love that. I'm always learning too, so I love when people send me, you know, information or just let me know how you're doing or how you, if you like awakenings, you know, changes you'd like, guest suggestions, just communication, just communicate. That's just, this is all about being connected, you know, and sharing. We're in that space now as creative collaborators. We're moving out of the space of toil and labor into creativity, creative expression. And as a collective, we are moving in a space of using more of our higher mind, our divine mind, connecting in from intuition, connecting in psychically through the psyche, and literally connecting into that mind that is non-local. You know, we've had guests on that have, you know, talked about this, Greg Braden, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton, to name a couple, I believe even Dr. Eric Pearl, that there is this, you know, awakened state of consciousness that is beyond the mind. You know, consciousness is beyond mind. Consciousness creates mind, creates form. And think about it, in a sense, mind is a form. You know, spirit takes form called mind to project images and thoughts and ideas and experience and express thoughts and ideas. So we're playing more in that field, and many of us have already been living and playing in this field, in this playground, and it's just, in a sense, we're going to have more playmates, more people that are living intuitively, you know, knowing how to connect into their intuition, trusting their intuition, connecting into their higher self. I was tweeting with someone the other day, and I had tweeted something to the effect of know who you are and know what to do. And she was saying that sometimes she doesn't know what to do. And I said, but you always do. We always know what to do. It's the ego personality that maybe doesn't know what to do. It's the egoic self that maybe doesn't know what to do. But our higher self, the transcendent or transpersonal part of us that's beyond the little I, always knows what to do. And that's why through meditation, through opening the channel, we begin to receive the imprinting of the soul's template of what our next step is on the path. We begin to be spirit-led. We begin to receive the prompting of spirit through the subtle energy. And it's really from that higher dimension or expanded dimension of consciousness that we all are and all reside in. And then the ego personality begins to be a vessel or a vehicle for this. It receives this. And then we become a receiver, a responder, where we're able to receive the insight, the input, and respond to it. And then when we're becoming a receiver, responder, we're following the resonance, the law of resonance. We're going where we truly resonate. and what resonates for us and to us naturally, authentically. What is our vibrational frequency? Every one of us has a signature vibrational frequency. And when we follow that, we live abundantly. We live joyfully. We live in a sense of feeling connected if we follow that resonance. And sometimes it takes a while. We have to have patience because sometimes on the earth plane level, the way is not, it doesn't seem clear. It's not presented clearly, you know. And sometimes that's because things are getting in order and alignment. You know, a wonderful metaphysical teacher of mine years ago said something to me that I find all so to be true. At first I didn't understand it, but then years later I saw how it played out. And she said a couple things. She said, it's not always about you. And she said, sometimes it's about the other person or the situation that you're moving into is not ready. Because many times, you know, people consciously on a path think something's wrong with them. Oh, I'm not getting this right now, or I'm not getting this answer. Something's wrong with me. And Sylvia in the chat is putting patience. Yes, patience, because a way is being created. So it's not always about us. It's like, if you think about it, it's like walking down the street and you're supposed to meet a friend, you know, at the corner where the river meets the hills, let's say, okay? Let's say that's at the corner of 4th Street and Life Street, okay? You're supposed to meet. And you keep getting delayed, and you're upset about it, and you're thinking, why am I not getting there? Or I'm going too slow, or now I have to talk to this person on the way. Well, all those enriching experiences on the way to that critical point, that converging point, happen many times because the situation isn't ready yet. The person isn't there yet. They're finishing what they need to do to get there, and then you get there in the divine right time, divine right timing. So it's not always something's wrong. Delays very often are a form of protection, and not always necessarily from something bad happening or catastrophic, but a form of protection that, oh, the time isn't right yet, or they're not there yet, or they're not ready yet, or, you know, savor where you are right now and who you're with right now, because if you go too soon, that'll be too much effort, too much labor. You know, as it said in the I Ching, why would one want to pick fruit when it's not ripe? And that's in calculated waiting, waiting in non-action. So non-action doesn't necessarily mean not doing anything, but it means not pushing the river, letting things flow, allowing that flow to take place. And when you follow the flow, you begin to connect in to your internal timing, your inner rhythm, the right rhythm for you, the rhythm that's right for you to experience and express in life, to journey through life. And in that rhythm, you are aligning to your pattern, your signature pattern, your frequency, your resonance. You're connecting into your higher self and being guided by that. Okay, we have a question from Light in the chat. Do you feel that life is a school for our soul to learn lessons we choose? I do not. I did at one point, but my experience and my understanding from the channelings that I've done and a lot of study and then releasing it all, that is a belief. It's part. We're always learning. But really, we're here to express and experience us as individuated aspects of God or the all that is. And in expressing ourselves and sharing, we're of service. We learn. So I think that's a component, that's a part of it. But I think you can begin to move out of learning lessons. The same thing I feel is you can begin to move out of having to have learning relationships or learning lesson relationships or karmic relationships. You can move into a space of divine co-creating, collaboration, creativity, sharing the love. And within that, we're always going to learn because as a species, that's what we do. We learn. And so I think we went through a time in our evolution where we needed to perhaps learn or know that we do have this capability to learn and to evolve. You look at animal beings do that naturally too. You know, so all species learn. Plants do that. Plants even learn. Plants learn where the light is, and they lean towards the light. You can see that. You have a potted plant in your house, it's going to lean towards the light. So I think for all of us, maybe that's our compass. Lean towards the light, that which is most life-enhancing, that which is producing and more of those love feelings or connected feelings within you. So, yeah, Tammy is saying in the chat, love that, reframe, change of use. Yeah, we're changing the use of the language. Because if you're always learning, if something's a lesson, then that's also saying that there's something that you don't know. But on some level, we all do know. We do know. And I can say for myself as well, and I'm sure many of you that are listening, even when we've taken a supposed wrong turn or had a delay or we went through a cul-de-sac in our life or a dead end, we kind of knew it. If we'd been in the meditative state, if we'd been in the connected state to our higher self, there are certain decisions we perhaps wouldn't have done. I know for me, I'm raising my hand here. The biggest, perhaps, delays in my life, which could also be seen as a mistake, but I see it more as a delay or a little trap, a little labyrinth that I got into. I did have flashes of no, don't push was one of them, and the other one was no, maybe not. And I still did, and I see why. And Light, you're so right. Light is putting in the chat, we are here to relish in the I am. That's it. Relish and share the relish. I love that. Beautiful. Again, those of you that have just tuned in, if you have a question, typing it in caps in the chat room is really helpful, allows me to see it a little bit better, catches my eye. And if you do have a question or a comment, those of you that are listening by phone, just press 1 and I'll get a signal on the switchboard. And speaking of relishing in the I am, our guest that's here with us today wrote a book called I Am. So I'm kind of interested. There's always these wonderful synchronicities here. We have today with us on Awakenings, Nannies, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, Ellis, who is a speaker, author, and intuitive counselor and coach. Many people have said she's a master at turning challenges into triumph. Nannies creates significant life-altering transformation in a safe and compassionate environment of unconditional acceptance and support. She is the author of 5 books, including I Am and Lip Prints. Nannies also hosts the weekly radio talk show Chai with Nannies on latalkradio.com. And for those of you techies in the chat, her website is nannies.com, and that's N-A-N-I-C-E. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be with you here today.
Ah, great to have you. And am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, Nannies? You are. Yes,
oh,
that's
I love it.
Perfect. Thank you. It's a bit of a hard one sometimes.
Yeah, beautiful. I thought it was kind of synchronistic because in the chat we're talking about relishing in the I am. And, of course, you have a book on I am.
Yes.
So love those synchronicities that continually occur, you know.
Right. And the many that we don't even realize. I think that we're probably only aware of a very, very small percent of synchronicities.
Yes.
I believe that everything that happens is really a synchronicity. Otherwise, it wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, I so agree with you. And, you know, and I'm glad that you say that, Nannies, because it's really, it's happening all the time. The magic, it's us, and it's happening all the time. It's just we're aware of such a small portion.
Yes.
And perhaps for some getting, you know, more and more awareness.
Yes.
So, Nannies, I kind of don't know much about you, so I'm, inquisitive as to your path and how you, let's say your first awakening and how you began upon this path of living more consciously and assisting others to do the same.
I love it that you said your first awakening, because a lot of people think that awakening is a destination,
yes,
and that once you wake up, then that's it. Once you're enlightened, that's it. And the truth is that if you believe that and you reach that point where, oh, I'm awake or I'm enlightened, that means that you're not, because of the process. And it certainly has been a process for me. And I only know that it's a process because I was one of those people who thought that the goal was to wake up.
Find
out that there's no such thing, that in order to be awake, you have to be awakening, because there's never an end to it.
Yeah. Oh, I just got goosebumps on that. I got
cool.
And also, I got to interject here, because the program came to me from channeling info from the oversouls and the spiritual hierarchy. And I thought there was a mistake. I was like, you want the name Awakenings? And I'm like, well, what about Awakening? No, Awakenings.
Right.
Awakening.
Right.
And just precisely what you said, Nanny. They said that it's a succession. You're always awakening more and more and more.
Right.
It's a succession of awakenings.
Right.
So thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it. And also, it's a confirmation that you're saying that you yourself went through that point where you thought, okay, it's an awakening.
Yeah.
You wake up and, okay.
That's it. We're done. If you think of a flower, you know, a flower, when it blooms, it's awakening. And as soon as it reaches completion, it starts dying. And that's not what we're about. We're not about dying. We're about the continuation of life, which means that there needs to be a continuation of awakening. And so for me on my path, you know, it's been a life process of awakening. And it just keeps getting better. Just when I think it can't get any better, I've gone through my own challenges, as, you know, so many of us have on the path. And, you know, I have a history. When I was younger, I was in an abusive relationship and nearly escaped with my life. I got pregnant when I was 17. I had lots of challenges, you name it. I went through it. But I'll tell you that there was this stirring inside my soul that kept asking the questions, and the questions were, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is it that I need to know in order to create the life that I came here to live? And those questions never ended, and really they never will, because once you have an answer to a question, then you see looking for the answer, and then the answer that you found really isn't accurate anymore. I know that's a bit of a tongue twister, but it's the questions that create our life. You know, when people look at their lives and they look back on their lives, if they really look carefully, they could see the thing that's created their lives are the questions that they asked. And if people ask questions like, oh, why me, and why is this happening to me, then their life will revolve around that and show them why, which can only be things that they probably don't like. But if the question is, you know, how can I serve the world? How can I have, you know, greater self-esteem? How can I love myself more? Then our lives will demonstrate the answers to those questions. And simply by understanding our current questions and shifting them, if we don't like the answers that we've been getting, and the answers come out in our lives, they're demonstrated in our lives, then we get to change the questions until we find questions that create lives that really fit with us well, and lives that bring us lots of joy and peace and fun and happiness. So the answer is the question.
Yes. I would say that, well, we're the question and the answer.
Yes.
Right? We're continually, it's this cycle, and what I'm hearing you also say, that's also that cycle of awakening, because isn't it true, you know, and if you think about it, even you think of infancy, when we're growing at that young stage, there's the question of, you know, what is this, and you reach for that, and you answer that question.
Yes.
And then you know what it is, and then there's, well, what do I do with this, and that's another question, you know,
right.
I'm just thinking of even toys, right, so it is this evolution is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely, absolutely. But a lot of times we, you know, like when we're young, I love that you bring in the infancy and the childhood, because I don't know about you, but I know that when I was 2, 3, 4 years old, that I didn't have the capacity to really understand the answers. And most of us rely on those answers that we got before we were 5 to rule our entire adult lives. So it's like, you know, we create, you know, all our beliefs are already intact by the time we're 5 years old. So we've already decided if the world is safe or unsafe, if we're lovable or unlovable, if we're worthy or not worthy. And then for the rest of our lives, we prove that's true. And very rarely do people wake up and say, wait a second, that's not right, and maybe I need to reexamine that or re-ask some questions and find better answers.
And how? And I agree with you. I think it's important. How important do you feel it is to perhaps, like you're saying, ask different questions all along the way?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. If you know, if you just keep asking the same questions, you're likely to get the same answers. So yeah, so the questions evolve, and even sometimes the same question is not the same. And I'll give you an example, and it goes back to the I Am book. So you know, as I mentioned, one of the questions that I've had for most of my life, I remember having this question as soon as I could think, and it's who am I? Who am I? And so as a child, the question of who am I was, okay, well, the answer came in relation to the world and my parents and to school and all those things, and I'm a person, and I'm this, and I can ride a bike, and, you know, this is who I am. And then when I got to be older, that changed, and then when I got to be in my 20s, that changed again, and it kept changing. And recently, this was just the beginning of this past year, it was January 2009, once again I found myself asking that same question, who am I, lying in my bed late at night. And this time I happened to be looking at my laptop, and I had all these beautiful pictures on from Blasphemy, which is an amazing site, blasphemy.com. And I'm looking at the pictures.
And what is it called?
Blasphemy? I think it's Blasphemy. And they're just amazing photos, and some of them are digitally enhanced and some of them are not, and they are just mind-blowing. So there I am laying in bed, and I'm watching these photos go by. It was kind of like an automatic one photo, then the next, and I'm listening to this amazing music by Sting, and I'm just in this amazing place, and I'm thinking to myself, who am I? And this time I decided that I was what I was looking at. And at first it just started out as a little game. So as each photo came by, I would say, I am that, and I am that, and I am that. And some of it really resonated with me. Like I knew what it felt like to be a bird in the sky, but I didn't know what it felt like to be a fish in the ocean. And as the pictures kept ticking by and I got more and more involved in it, something happened inside me, and I was no longer playing a game. Suddenly I really was that in which I was seeing. I really was the bird. I really was the fish. I really was the mountain. And then it happened. Not only was I these beautiful things, I started to realize that I was also Hitler, and I was also everyone in a concentration camp, and I was also the judge that had it in for me years ago, and I was also every person I've ever known and every breath of air I've ever breathed. And I got it. I got it that there's nowhere that I can look that I am not, that I truly am all of this. And it wasn't just a concept in my head. It was an experience. And the I Am book came out of that. It was actually a chronicle of that experience that lasted about 3 days without sleep, without being able to do anything else. It was just all around me. And it was really hard to type through the tears, but somehow I made it. It was probably the most emotional experience of my life, so much so that When the book was finally done, and even 2 weeks later, I found myself in the health food store, and the young cashier said, how are you today, ma'am? And I just burst out crying and tried to convince him desperately that I was crying because I was just so happy. He runs when he sees me now, but that's another story.
Yes, exactly. The heart, when the heart opens, the heart energy, when we get those, you know, waves of opening and awakening within the heart, oh, that's right. Some people run.
Yeah. I'm actually just kidding about that.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart. Yeah.
But sometimes it's for some people, it can be a little off-putting, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely, because it's a lot. I mean, to feel that much, and I know because I know the other side of it. Because most of my life, you know, I had my heart closed, and I didn't even know it. And over the last few years, I started to become aware of it. As even though I was open and outgoing, that there was a part of my heart that I just kept secured and kept private and kept safe. And at some point I realized that if I wanted to go to the next level of my own evolution, of my own awakening, that somehow I was going to have to figure out how to open my heart. And that was no easy task, as you can imagine. But I decided it, and I chose it, and the power in our choice makes miracles happen. And over a series of experiences and a course of time, that's exactly what happened. But just like awakening, there's never a point where you could say, my heart is completely open, because it's unfolding and opening more and more and more, and I don't think there's ever an end to that. Like, there is no end to love and loving. There's no end.
Mm-hmm. So I agree, it's a succession. That's what I'm hearing from you, this succession of opening.
Yes.
You know, awakening or flowering, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Well said. Yeah, that's life. I mean, I think that's living. That's living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting because I look at my life now and who I am now, and I think back to the past. And what a lot of people don't know and are surprised to hear is that I suffered from chronic depression for many years. I believe that I even suffered from it as a child, but it wasn't diagnosed. And so I know what it's like to be in that darkness and, you know, just not feel very good and to really struggle through the day. And I know what it's like to be living in the light and just alive and free and flowing. And I'll tell you that whatever it takes to get from the dark to the light, it's worth it. But the other thing that I discovered is that when you finally are in the light, it's not a matter of choosing the light over the dark. It's a matter of accepting all of who you are, which is a mixture of darkness and lightness and brightness and dimness and everything in between. And that when those things can dance together, you are life. And life is living through you. And it is an amazing experience. Amazing. Mm.
And when you were, because I know we do have some listeners that have that condition of depression, how did that, couple of things, how did that manifest for you? How did that look for you, and what helped you through this?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an excellent question. Thank you. Yes, I had trouble just, you know, getting through the days. I mean, I'm most thinking about when I was in my 20s, because it was probably the worst at that time. And I really, you know, I just wanted to sleep through with things that I didn't want to do, but I didn't have the energy to do them. I didn't have the motivation or inspiration. I just kind of struggled to get by. It was pretty bad. But the interesting thing is nobody really knew it, because I was very good at hiding. So on the outside, people thought that I was always happy and, you know, and that I was doing well, but really I wasn't. And what I understand now about depression, and it's this, that I truly believe, and I've worked with thousands of people all over the world for many, many years, you know, coaching them and mentoring and all sorts of things, and through my own experience and working with so many people, I really believe that the only cause of depression is this, and it's simply not being who you really are, you know, trying to be someone else because you want to get their acceptance or approval, or you're afraid of consequences or whatnot. But if you are committed to uncovering and discovering your authentic self and being who you really are, which is different than anybody else on this planet, it's impossible to be depressed. You know, when we look, okay, well, what about chemicals and the body and everything? Well, I believe that the chemicals are a response to the belief. You know, whatever happens physically in the body is a response to what's going on in the subconscious. So if you're feeling... If you've got tapes going on in your subconscious mind that says it's not okay to be myself, or, you know, self-judgment and all that, that's what comes out. And that has to result in some kind of physical or chemical reaction in the body. I have a really, really good article on my website, and it's called The Upside of Depression, and it's available free for anybody who wants to read it. The article has gotten great feedback. The article in itself can change your life, and it's just at my website at nanice.com. nanice.com, and then just go to articles and scroll down. I think it's under impairment, but I don't really remember. But if
might
you scroll
be under,
down and just
okay,
yeah, just scroll down and look for the upside of depression. Upside of depression, and it's the permanent cure to all depression.
I love that. So the upside of depression, and it's nanice.com. Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yeah.
In the chat.
Yeah. When you go to Nanise.com, you'll see on the top there's a link that say articles, shows, and more. So click on that, and then once you're there, then just keep scrolling down and just look for the. I have tons of articles, so sorry, you have to scroll.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
But it's there. Yeah.
Those resources really help people, you know. And it's nice to have things, you know. In this world, everybody's charging for something. Just to have something to download, you need a minute.
Right.
You know, you need to read something. So
right.
That is great.
Yeah. By the way, the I Am book that we've been talking about—that's a free download on my website right now. So anybody can go there and just get that free download. It's a full book. It's and they can get it right away. They don't even have to enter any information. And then they can also get free song downloads that are very, very inspiring. One of them I actually wrote, which is kind of fun. And there's a whole bunch of free things. My website is set up for awakening. That's the purpose of it.
Yeah.
It's for anybody who's looking for more and looking to see who they are and be who they are. So, yeah. Fun.
And how did you divinely awaken or get guided to and awaken to, wow, this is my passion, this is my gift? How did that become clearer and clearer to you that this is what I want to do?
Well, like most people who feel they have a purpose or a passion, there's like a stirring inside. And it's an unfolding process. And I believe that for me, I just followed that process. And so that process led me, you know, after getting out of an abusive relationship when I was a teenager in my 20s, I actually worked for a crisis center, suicide outreach center. We did everything that you can imagine for about 5 or 6 years, and I was a volunteer there. And I really got very clear, I want to do this. And I took all my other gifts and talents, went back to school, got a degree, discovered this thing called coaching, life coaching, I should say, which was very, very new at that time. No one ever heard of it. When I would say I was a coach, they would say, "You coach baseball or basketball?" I'm like, "No, life." But
I'm
now,
so resonating with
know.
You.
Yeah.
So many similarities here, Nanny.
Really?
So many similarities, especially with the coaching. Yeah.
Oh,
what
awesome.
Do you do?
Isn't that funny? And now people know. So yeah. So I took all my gifts and talents, and I had been studying spirituality since I was 12 years old because I was a very confused child and looking for answers. I was the only kid in junior high walking around reading a book on astral projection and reincarnation. I didn't have many friends and didn't do much for my social life. But anyway, so it was just one path led to another, and things kept getting clearer and clearer. Now the interesting thing. is that when I finally figured out what I was to do here on this planet, there was a huge part of me that was like waiting for me to be discovered and waiting and waiting and nothing's happening. And I'm wondering, well, why is nothing happening? And one day it hit me. I was in Peru in the Amazon and I was on a shamanic journey and got it so very, very, very clearly that I had to choose myself. And at first that was really hard for me because, what if I'm not ready or not deserving or, you know, and it was so clear to me that the only way that I could be ready or deserving was to choose myself. And once I got that, I chose myself. And now my message to anybody else who feels that they have a purpose or a path in this world is to choose themselves for it, that no one's going to choose you, that if you really believe that you're meant to do something, that you have to step into it. You have to wake up, walk into it, and you have to begin living it. You have to be the person that you believe you need to be in order to do it. And then everything unfolds, and life reorganizes itself around you. And the secret is in choosing yourself. And it's powerful.
Ooh, choosing yourself. I love that.
Yeah.
This is really important. I hope people are not skimming over this as people are listening. And I love what you say because a lot of people take the passive approach. They mistake surrender for passivity, that it'll just happen.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, surrender's
not, like what
surrender doesn't mean. Yeah.
Yeah. No, to me it means acceptance, you know, it is what it is. But what you're talking about here, Nanise, the stepping into, I love that, that it's you need to step into that your path.
Right, because no one's going to do it for you. No one's going to pick you out of the crowd and go, oh, you there. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to choose yourself. It's an interesting thing because right now I'm actually creating a pilot program for a women's coaching school for spiritual coaching. It's called Echo. And I'm this pilot course, I'm not charging anything for the course. I'm only charging a certification fee, which is about $300.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's on my website, too. But it's really interesting because we're going through an application process right now. And the application process is, you know, people have, they fill out the application, they send it in, and then, you know, if their application shows their passion and drive and desire to be that difference that we all want to see in the world, then they get accepted into the candidacy process. So I have many of these women, they're candidates now. And it's really interesting, and I didn't even understand this when I first started, but it's really interesting because what it really is, it's a self-selection process. If a woman really believes that this is their path and this is their purpose and they want to be part of this program because they know that it will enrich their life and they'll be able to enrich the world and it really is going to be a phenomenal experience, then they participate in this candidacy process, which is already like the beginning of the school and their exercises and assignments and everything. So it's like if you enter a program, this is the metaphor for life. So if you just enter something and you're just waiting to be picked or chosen, that's not going to happen. But if you pick and choose yourself by fully participating, then your path is decided for you because you've decided it. And it really is that simple. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Mm. I like that. So you choose yourself by what it is that you want to do.
Now, a lot of people are out there thinking...
Explain a little bit how someone would do that. How would that look in their life?
Right, exactly. Because a lot of people are out there, they're thinking, well, what if you don't know what you want to do? And I call bullshit on that. Excuse my language, but I'm from New York, so.
No.
But the truth is, I've worked with thousands of people, and people always know what it is they want to do, but they put so many conditions up that why they can't do it, that they suddenly think, I don't know what I want to do. And so here's an example. So it's a very simple example. Many years ago, I was teaching this course, and I asked, how many people here know their life's purpose? And, you know, nobody raised their hand. How many people here believe they have a life's purpose? And everybody raised their hand. And this one man, and he says, what if you don't know what your life's purpose is? And I said, well, if it wasn't a matter of money or any other problems or challenges, what would you do? And he perked up. He said, I would go become a farmer in the Midwest.
Wow.
And I said, well, that's what's calling you. And that's the point. See, he did know what he wanted to do. And we all do know what we want to do, but we put all these conditions and reasons why we can't do it in the way that we forget what it is that we really want to do. So if you talk to anybody long enough, and long enough is usually about 3 to 5 minutes, it comes up very clearly that they really do know what they want to do, but they just think they can't do it.
That's it. And that's really what needs to be worked through, right, is the feeling that I can't.
Right. Now, what most people don't realize is that when they have a dream or a desire, it's really a higher power praying to them. So it's so funny because, you know, we all go around praying, oh, God, please, you know, I want to do this and I want to, you know, let me help the world. And what we don't understand is that God or however you want to define it, the higher power has been talking to you, praying to you, giving you these dreams and desires, and then you get to go out and fulfill them. And in the stepping forth and fulfilling them, this higher power actually works through you. But until you choose yourself and say yes to that, the higher power can't work through you, so nothing can happen. But in the choosing, saying, I'm going to do this no matter what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go, you know, help children in Africa, or I'm going to go out and, you know, be a coach and help people discover their purpose, or, you know, whatever it is, once you decide that, it's as good as done. Now, If you decide it, and then all of a sudden there's a reason why, oh, you change your mind, then you really haven't chosen it. You know when you've chosen something because nothing is going to stop you. When we look at any famous athlete or, you know, Tiger, the golf pro, they decide, there's nothing that's going to, Tiger Woods, right? That might have had a mental block there for a second. You know, I'm sure that he decided that nothing is going to stop me. It's as good as done. All athletes, same thing. If you have success, you know for sure that at some point you've made that choice that, yes, nothing is going to stop me. It is as good as done. And when I mean nothing, I mean nothing. I mean nothing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very powerful that that choosing. And I love what you say, because I so agree with this, that when you have something that you want to do, this burning desire or passion or drive or dreams, I've heard of people sometimes having dreams.
Yes.
That is your higher self or whatever, God coming through and saying, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
And this is what you came here to do.
Right, right.
Why do you think people don't listen to that?
It's scary, and no one's ever taught us to. You know, there was never a class in school that said, follow your dreams and the rest will come. You know, we go to school and we're programmed, to succeed, and we're programmed to prove ourselves, and we're programmed to believe that our survival is based on our worthiness, and that if we don't succeed, then, you know, we're not worthy, and if we're not worthy, then we're not going to get our needs met and we're going to die. So with that program in place, it's really, really hard to follow that inner voice that's calling to you, that's singing your dreams. So one of the most important things is to begin to understand that and try to break away from this program of worthiness, of success and failure, and to get back in touch with what's true for us. You know, you have small children, they just follow the voice. They are just playful. They are just themselves. They don't know any better until they start school and learn that there's conditions on their survival. But I'll tell you, that's a myth, and that's a lie, and that's something that we all need to break away from now. And anybody who's listening to this show at this moment, that means you. You wouldn't be listening to this right now if that did not mean you. And it's a matter of, you know, taking our lives back into our hands and beginning to listen to that voice inside, because that voice will never steer you wrong. And I want to mention one other thing, that what we do in life is not our purpose. So it's like, you know, I write books and I have a radio show and I do workshops and presentations and all that. And none of that is my purpose. That's simply the means in which I express my purpose. My purpose is to help people wake up, you know. My purpose is to be the little post-it note on the refrigerator, you know, the reminder note of who you really are.
I love it. That's right. We need those post-its. We need those post-its at different points of our path, you know, sometimes neon signs.
Exactly. Exactly. So
but I agree with this as well. I like what you're saying, that your purpose is not what you're doing.
Right.
You can explain that a little bit more for people.
Sure.
Because I think there's a lot of, you know, and this is why people, you know, they do one thing and I thought this was my path or this was my purpose, and then they do another thing and that's just an expression.
Right, right. So it's like the doing, it goes back to the worth again. So it's like, if I do a good job, then I'm worthy. So it's kind of like a catch-22. And it doesn't work like that, really, in from a higher perspective. So it's what we do in this world is simply an expression of what we came here to do. So if we really move back and really look at it from a even higher perspective, our purpose is always some kind of energy that we share, and it's love. It's always the energy of love. So it's like we are all channels for love, because everything goes back to love. Whatever your purpose looks like, it always goes back to love. So love is always, always the purpose. But our individual purpose are simply how we express that love out to the world and how we do that. So it's like, the way that I express that to the world is I see people, you know, I see who people really are, and that helps them see who they really are. That's simply how I express love to others and love out to the world. And it's really always that simple. It really is no more complicated than being a vehicle for love and expressing it in your own individual and divine way.
And so people, the way that they express it is going to be different. That's because it's predicated on our likes, dislikes, you know, our gifts, talents, beliefs, and understanding. But it's still just expressing love.
It's still just expressing love. I mean, we can look at it from many, many angles. But when you really reduce it right down to its core, you know, right down to the atom, so to speak, what you're looking at is love. Everyone's purpose is to express love, but they do it in their own individual and unique ways. And so, you know, for me, it looks like I express love through how I respond to people, what I give out to the world, and then it shows up in what I do. Mm-hmm. But it's really just love. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think about it, even so, we'll go back to the Tiger Woods analogy. So it's like people, you know, watch him all over the world on TV, and they get a good feeling when they watch him. Otherwise, they wouldn't watch him. And so, what does that good feeling go back to? It goes back to a feeling of love. It really is always about love.
Mm. Now, seeing that at the beginning of the program, we were talking about this. We touched upon this, Nannies, that. You know, this being on this planet or having this life experience isn't always about learning lessons. It's about sharing that expression that is you. And as you're putting it, that love, and I love that. It's a nice answer to that, like to the what are we to be doing here, which is
If you don't know what you're going to be, what you're supposed to, because a lot of people, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, even despite the conversation. And so the answer is this. If it goes back to love anyway, just simply love. Just simply love any way you can every day of your life. And that's what my book With Prince is about. It's being that change you want to see in the world in simple yet profound ways. And it's just about spreading love. And you do that through a handshake, by paying attention to somebody, by saying thank you, by paying it forward, by being that smile that awakens another smile. Those are all ways to share love. Those are all ways to make a difference in the world and change the world. It's that easy. It's not complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not, but I think what you said earlier, we've not been taught. So part of what we're really talking about is getting this energy, this concept, these ideas, these ways of looking at things, this new language into mainstream consciousness so that, right, when children are going to school, they know of this. They know about, you know, your path, your soul's path. You know, we're the people on the frontier going out there saying, you know, look at it this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Integrate this in.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I want to touch back in a bit about your program, because I get asked a lot, you know, people, especially now, this is the world, everyone's a life coach, you know, and I get a lot of people saying, well, where did you go to school? And I say, well, back when I got my, same as you, you had to do different trainings and put it all together, and, you know, take a psychology degree, whatever, put it all. But and there's so much out there right now. So I want to talk a little bit more about your program, because I really love what you're having to say. How can people find it? If you can share a little bit more about the program and where people can get information on your program.
Yeah, thank you so much. Just go to my website again. I try to make it really easy for people. So So again, just nannice.com, NANICE.com. And once you get to the homepage, by the way, I recommend reading through the homepage. It's a beautiful article on awakening. And you'll see the right side column, and just scroll down, and you'll go past the free book downloads and song downloads. And I think right underneath there is the link for the coaching school. It says Echo Coaching School, and it will take you to a page and explain all of it. And at the bottom of that page is a link for the application. You just fill that out, and you send that in. And the deadline to receive applications is probably, it's the end of September. I think it's the 29th of September. So I definitely need all applications in by then. And it's an exciting process. Even in the candidacy process, it's transformational. You just have to say yes, and you just have to be willing to choose yourself and step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And online, or is it meeting at a location? And if so, where is the location?
Yeah, it's going to be through webinars and teleseminars and that kind of stuff. And it will be, so anybody, it doesn't matter where you live in the world. In fact, many people are all over the world that have already applied for the school. So as long as you have a computer, you'll be able to take the classes. That's not a problem. And just, you'll be part of an extraordinary group of women, extremely extraordinary. So.
And it's called ECHO.
Yeah, ECKO. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And again, it's a pilot program, so there's no cost for the program, and certification is just $300, and makes it very, very doable.
But wonderful.
You have to choose yourself, and then be accepted. Yes. Yeah.
And the ECKO, does that stand for anything, or is it just being an echo out there?
Yes, it's being determined what that stands for. That was what was given to me from a higher power, and ECHO can stand for many, many things, and that will be part of what develops in the school. We'll see what it really stands for.
Yeah,
so I kind of go one step at a time and just let things reveal themselves, and it's a fun and amazing journey.
Well, I know. It keeps us interested.
Yes.
Yeah. Allow the unfolding to happen. And what is unfolding for you right now? You've got the pilot program, the school, which sounds like another wonderful way to be a post-it out there and help others be others post-its as well.
That's the point. That's the point.
Is to help others so that others can help others and have it on down on the line.
The ripple effect.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I'm also completing two more books right now, and one of them is called Zest Point, and I hope to have that done by the end of the month.
And it's
Zest
called what?
Point, Zest, Z-E-S-T, Point.
And it's Zest just, Point.
Zest Point. And it's about choices. It's about creating the life you want by simply using the power of choice. And the other one is called The Red Pill, and it's about the programs that run us and how to get through them. And I hope to have that done in the next couple of months. I have a little benefit, though. I have actually own and operate my own publishing company that we started a few years ago when I self-published my first book, and so Aardvark Global Publishing. So I have a printing press in my basement, and it helps me get
wonderful.
Books out pretty quick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good. I was wondering how you get to turn these out. That's great.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And we actually do that for people all over the country, too. So it's quite fun and interesting. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So really, it's interesting because you're doing this helping others awaken through various means. So it's a lot of different creative endeavors or outlooks.
Yes.
Or outlets. Outlooks for sure, but also outlets as well.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. There's many, many ways. There's many ways, but only one path. So the other way around. There's many, many paths, but only one way.
The other way, too, I guess it could be.
That it was a divine inspiration of last week that I write these, I channel divine inspirations every day, and what divine inspiration is a daily inspirational quote that is channeled through me every day, and I send out to my mailing list, and so thousands of people all over the world get it, and it's really fun because I get so many emails saying, how did you know exactly what to send me today? So if anybody wants to sign up for that, that's free too, and that's also on the website. You'll see a sign up link on your way down to the coaching school or the free downloads, so it's available as well. Yeah.
To just be and how do you remain inspired and connected in? What is your personal
at the point now, if you asked me this question a year ago, but it's a very different answer, but right now, it could be no other way. It just is. You know, it's funny because it's like when you finally arrive at something, let me give you an example, like self-esteem. I was on this path finding self-esteem for decades, and when I finally really understood what it was, it disappeared. It was gone. And so it's like, the inspiration, there's no longer a search for inspiration because there's nothing blocking the inspiration from coming. It's just constantly flowing through me. And if you were to ask me if I had any problems, it would probably be too much inspiration.
Well, I agree. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
But how do you
know
this? So for those that perhaps are in that point in before the realization of this or seeing this, what could you share with them to help them see that the inspiration is everywhere?
Yeah, it's like go where you love, do what you love to do, go out in nature, ride your bike, read poetry, whatever it is that makes you feel good, connects you with your higher power, and when you're connected with your higher power, the inspiration can't help but flow through. It just has to. It's no other way. And that's the good news, that it doesn't have to be hard and we don't have to hit our heads against the wall and, you know, try to get motivated. I don't believe in motivation. I believe in inspiration. Motivation is externally charged, and that means that at some point it will die. Inspiration is infinite. And the inspiration is always there, ready to flow through you. All you have to do is get rid of the filters that stop it. And the best way to do that is do what you love and feel good, whether that's a bubble bath or a ride through the countryside. Just do what you love, music, whatever. Make yourself feel good.
And I know for me, it's I don't want to say always changing, but it does change, you know, because it can be a conversation, it can be, you know, going out, you know, art exhibit, it could be just walking on the beach, it could be something I read, it's just, I don't know about you, but for myself, a lot of times when I'm working, you know, on a new project or something is coming in, especially if it's a new area and it's maybe a little unknown, a little fear there, I call in. I just put the intention, the prayer there to have confirmation of what I'm doing, and then also to have that insight or that inspiration. And right away, it's like I will just see left and right, right and left, you know, all others that are doing something similar or have done something similar. Do you find a similar experience?
Absolutely. Just ask for what you want and it will show up. And if that's, you know, confirmation around you or support or whatever, if you ask for it and you're aware, you know, in the asking you become aware. And in the awareness it seems to show up.
Yeah.
But maybe it was there all along. I don't know.
Don't you think, and that brings up a good point. Don't you perhaps feel, I'm wondering if the asking, for me a lot of times, it's a clarifying.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
The clarifying is like the precursor to the choosing. I never thought of it like that before.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, it is. It is because you're getting that tickle. You're getting that tickle, something coming in or a new direction or a new expression, experience.
Yeah.
And I guess you're right, you know, and then you ask, it is the clarification is, okay, I'm really doing this. I'm opening up to this. And that's why a lot of people say that, be careful what you wish for, because when you do choose, it is presented to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It really is. It really is.
And I don't know about you, but what I would like to say is that I look at it as a dessert tray, because I have met people on the path that have stopped, and I don't know where they got this information, but the belief that if they put things out there and that they started coming to them and then they changed their mind, that somehow it would stop. And I know. And what I've shared is like, no, look at it as the dessert tray at the restaurant. You don't have to have dessert all the time. You don't have to pick that. You don't have to choose that. You can look at it or you could take a little taste, but you don't have to eat all of it at once. You know, it'll come back around again.
That's good.
And then Liara in the chat is saying all experiences are meaningful if you choose to view it that way.
Yes. Everything. There's nothing that's not meaningful. I mean, I can walk out in front of my deck right now and look at my pine tree, and that's completely meaningful. And, in fact, there's no way that you can't look that will give you the answers to the universe and the answers to your life. It's all around you. There's nowhere that you can't look that isn't divinely perfect and can offer you exactly what you're looking for. It's all around you.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's impossible not to see it. It's impossible not to.
And do you feel, in a sense, that we're answering our own question through these various means? In other words, through these other sources, but it's really coming from us.
Well, there's only one.
Exactly.
A hard one to wrap your mind around, and there's only one. So it's like no matter what source it's coming from, it's still us, because we're only one source. It's just appearing differently. But this is how I explain it. So the purpose of life, and this is on another spectrum, the purpose of life is simply to tell us what's going on in our subconscious minds. So it's like nothing's happening out there. It's all happening in our subconscious minds, and we're projecting it out into our world. And if we didn't project it out into our world and it show up in our life, then we would never know what's going on in our subconscious minds. So if we don't like what's going on our world, in our world on that projector screen, then we get to go back and we get to change what the projector is projecting through our subconscious mind. And if we understand that, then we understand that every second of our lives is a projection from something inside of us, and that there really is only us, and there really is only one, and everything's a part of that. It's a beautiful experience, life, that is.
Oh, well, it's wonderful. I mean, it's the place that we get to experience this on a sensory level, you know, these expressions and experiences. Nanice, when you were speaking, I was thinking of, yes, and a lot of times the roadblocks as well are coming from us as well, projected out.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So not just the openings, but the roadblocks.
And those roadblocks, very often, those roadblocks are exactly what we need to grow and shift into the person that we need to be in order to manifest that which we want.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting as you say that, it calls to mind for me that a lot of times that roadblock is saying, go in another direction or integrate something else. You know, it's saying you need to bring this in or focus on this. So I, a lot of times, don't look at a roadblock as a negative or something pejorative. It's something that, I guess something else is coming through here.
Yeah.
I guess, right?
It's hard to tell. I mean, it's because sometimes people think, oh, that just means I'm not supposed to go in that direction. And really what it means is that you, whatever that is, you need to have that experience in order to grow into the person you need to be, in order to manifest that which you want. And so, you know, it's really hard to say, so I don't even want to generalize. And I also think that when you've really chosen something, that there's no such thing as roadblocks, that they're all opportunities, that nothing's going to stop you. So if you do hit a roadblock and you're thinking, oh, I can't get through it, I can't do this, then you really haven't chosen. And if you really haven't chosen, then the miracles and magic cannot happen to get you to where you want to go. So, you know, my personal perspective is no such thing as roadblocks when you've chosen. And if you find yourself with a roadblock that you think you can't get through, or you're ready to give up or turn around, then you have not chosen. There's a really good book. It's a fable called The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson, Wilkinson. And it's just an amazing book about that. It's the first part of the book is a fable or a parable. I get too confused, and it just really describes, you know, somebody on the path to their dream and all the obstacles that they, you know, encounter and what it means to, you know, get past them and through them and all that. So, yeah, you know, it's like
unless it's a dead end. To me, I look at the roadblock, because if you think even of a roadblock, it just means you have to go around, or maybe there's a better way, or maybe you need to wait at the light to meet someone and then go around. I think a lot of people get stuck or stopped, you know, at that time, like you just said, thinking that maybe it's not the right way, but it doesn't necessarily mean that.
Right.
You know.
Right. And again, it goes back to the choosing, that you take two people, and let's say person A has, you know, they believe they want something, but they really haven't chosen. And person B has absolutely chosen, which means that they are going to reach their destination. Right? You have these two people. And let's say that they are driving from, you know, New York to California. Okay, so person B saying, I am getting to California no matter what. I am getting there because, you know, whatever it is, he's getting married in the morning or whatever, you know. And person A has chosen to get to California. Has not chosen to get to California. He just wants to. He thinks he's chosen, but he hasn't. So they both take off at the same time, and they're moving through Chicago, and there's a traffic jam in Chicago. Now, which person do you think is going to make it past that traffic jam, and which person do you think, it looks like I'm not going to make it on time anyway, so I might as well turn around? You know, person A, when he reaches that traffic jam representing any roadblock or obstacle that we might find in our lives, is going to be like, oh, this is impossible. How am I ever, I'm not going to make it in time anyway, so I might as well just wait here or just turn around and go back. Person B, however, has chosen beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what, he is getting to California and he's going to find a way, hell or high water, he is going to make it there. And that's what's required, that if you really want something in your life, that you must choose it. And in the choosing, you choose that no matter what, you are going to make it to your destination. And mm-hmm. and then it's as good as done. Mm-hmm. If you come to a roadblock and you're thinking, oh, it's a dead end, or I can't do this, or it wasn't meant to be, then you haven't chosen. So instead of, you know, turning around or, you know, throwing in the towel, my greatest advice, if I were to give advice, would be choose. And if you can't choose, then don't even bother. But if you can choose, expect miracles and magic at every turn, because that will truly happen. I know.
I love that. I love that. And you know what? And I call it the, you just, and you said that phrase. I've used this no matter what.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to take that approach, no matter what, I'm going to do this, no matter what, it's going to happen. And something mystical, magical happens. It's like you get that wonderful cohesiveness, right? That synchronistic cohesive something, spiritual energy that somehow leads you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And that doesn't happen until you choose. That's the missing ingredient that people don't realize. It's like the secret of the secret. It happens in the choosing. Manifestation happens in the choosing. It doesn't happen before. So it's like the secret to manifestation, this is what it looks like. So all manifestation starts out as a concept, a thought, oh, well, that would be nice. And then it turns into, you know, so in this concept of driving cross country. So the concept would be like, oh, I can drive cross country. That would be an interesting thing to do, you know. And then it turns into belief, yeah, I believe I can do that. And then if that belief is nurtured long enough, it turns into a knowing. I know I can do that. I know I can do that. But still, that doesn't manifest. Then it turns into the choice. It goes from the knowing to the choice. And in the choice, that's where the magic starts to happen. But that magic and that choice is not activated or initiated until physical action is taken, because we live in the physical world. And as soon as that physical action is taken based on the choice that came from the knowing, the belief, and the concept, that's when the seas part and the skies open up and angels and guides and all kinds of amazing miracles and magic begin to transpire all around you in ways that you never even could have believed possible.
Mm.
And there you have it.
So choose, choose, choose. Share some examples of choosing that either you've had or that clients that you've worked with have had. How did that look?
Awesome. So I have an amazing client/friend. All my clients are friends. That has an extremely successful construction business. I'll give him a little boost on there. Build Right Construction. He's in Atlanta, and he is experiencing immense success in his business when other businesses just like him are really suffering according to the economy. Well, at some point he chose success. He even says that I chose success. I choose success. And he is so committed to success that he can't keep up with his business right now because he chose it. Now, somebody else with a similar business who's, like, you know, worried about the economy, who wants success but really hasn't chosen it, is not likely to have the success. Another example would be my son Travis. He's 14 years old, and you know he's learning to play the guitar now, and it can be a little bit challenging to learn how to play a musical instrument. He's, you know, he's got big fingers, and you know, and they're not as flexible as a lot of guitarist fingers might be. But there's no stopping him because he's already chosen his destination. He's already chosen the outcome, so that when, you know, he gets sore, he gets tired, or it's a little too hard, he doesn't stop. He keeps going on because he's already chosen what it is that he wants. And there's no doubt in his mind, or in mine for that matter, that he will succeed at that which he has chosen. And from my own life, you know, it's you know, as I was saying before, it wasn't until I really chose my path, I made the choice to be who I wanted to be, that things miraculously started happening. Before that, I was wondering why nothing was happening, and I started to think, well, maybe I'm not right. Maybe I'm not who I think I am. Maybe I'm not supposed to do what I think I'm supposed to do. And the missing ingredient was choosing. And once I learned that, I made the decision, and I chose. And I'll tell you that there have been many opportunities that have come up and continue to come up that would be a really good excuse to second guess or doubt myself, but that's not even in the realm of possibility because I've already chosen and nothing's going to stop me. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. So you relax into and rely into that choice.
Yeah. Yeah, and suddenly there's no urgency, and that was an interesting surprise, because before I chose, there was a sense of urgency, like, oh, I've got to, oh, time's running out. But once I chose, and I started acting on that choice, suddenly the urgency just kind of melted into, oh, this is fun. It's as good as done. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and the journey
less urgency, more relaxation. Well, you really,
yeah.
When you know, I think you know your path, you know that it's happening.
Yeah.
And you don't have to push it. You don't have to,
yeah.
to rush, as you
yeah.
say. We do have a question in the chat invite. Let's see.
Awesome.
Well, a couple questions.
Awesome.
And also, by the way, those that are listening, again, if you can call in for questions of Nannies Ellis, the number is 347-539-5122, or as always, you can ask questions in the chat. What made you choose that decision, Nannies? What made you choose that decision? Well, can you explain a little? Maybe you can type in which decision, because
yeah.
that would be great. And then Halo asked if you could give an example of physical action.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll go back to Travis and the guitar. So, I mean, if he just chose, like, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to succeed at being a guitar player, and he just, you know, sat home and didn't do anything, that wouldn't happen. But instead, you know, he signed up for guitar lessons, or, you know, I went with him, of course, and, you know, he makes sure that he goes to guitar lessons whenever they're scheduled, and he practices. Those are the actions. So he's not just home, you know, meditating, imagining being a good guitar player. You know, the same would be right for, you know, my client with Build Right Construction. He didn't just sit home and think, oh, I choose success. Instead, he took the actions that were necessary for his business to be successful. So, and the same with me. So it's not, I didn't just choose my path. I took action by creating things and putting them out into the world and even doing something, you know, like being on the show today. That's action. So it's inspired action, I should mention. So a lot of times the people are like, oh, they go back to their what I should do list and forget about the I should do list. I don't believe in the I should do list. Everything that I do is inspired action. So I'm inspired at that moment to do it. And because I've chosen and I'm really clear with what it is that I have chosen and what that looks like, my action is always inspired by that. And I'm always doing exactly what I need to be doing and love doing. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love it.
Question.
Okay. So Brian is asking, the choice to be where she is now, what made her choose the path that she's on now, which is bringing her the success that she's
yeah.
experiencing now?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Right.
So a burning desire for a really long time. So just a calling, you know, that's stirring within and constantly pointing me further and further in the direction. And I had, years ago, I began having a vision of, you know, who I was in the world and what that looked like and what I did and all that kind of stuff. And that vision, you know, never went away. And to just describe that vision briefly, for many years, I've just seen myself as being on the forefront in the world of just facilitating peace and awakening and being an inspiration and, you know, doing exactly what it is that I do now through my books and writings and radio show and, you know, whatever else it is that I might do. And so there was that calling, but I hadn't chosen it. Yeah, so I kind of felt like, oh, it was choosing me and I was waiting for something to happen. And then when I got really clear that nothing was, like, really going to happen until I stepped into it by choosing it and then taking action. So the reason that I chose what I did choose, because I could have chose anything. I could have chose to be a woodworker. You know, I could have chose, you know, I could have chose almost anything, obviously. It was a stirring inside of me. It was, you know, that prayer from a higher power that was coming down through me. And I simply had to say yes to it, and I said yes to it by choosing it. Do you think that answers his question?
Yeah, so now Brian is asking, so would you say it was an inner pull?
Absolutely. 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 And the thing is, most of us have inner pulls, if not everybody. But the only difference is a lot of people don't listen to those inner pulls because they find excuses or conditions. Why not? And what I'm saying is get rid of the excuses, flush the conditions down the toilet, and choose. Choose.
Yeah. He's saying, yes, that answers my question beautifully.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. That was a great question. And also great point that you're making, that many people have those stirrings,
in
that inner pull, and somehow through conditioning choose not to answer or say, well, maybe not. No.
Yeah, and a lot of that goes back to what we were talking about before, because if they do answer it, or if they do start to say yes to it, it can be really scary, because if we're programmed for survival, and our survival is based on worth, which is what we learn in school, and we go out on a limb and we do something that might threaten our survival or hinder it in some way, that's really scary. So of course, most of us choose in the direction of what's safe and secure, because we don't know any other way, because we haven't been taught that there is another way. And that other way is actually the secret and answer to our most fulfilling life.
Yeah. I love that, again, we go back to the choosing, but also it's the conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the conditioning. I don't know how exactly it happened that we got conditioned in the non-productive, non-life-enhancing way, but a lot of these little wonderful schemes and philosophies that were cooked up, that we cooked up.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe it was that we all did, that the unconditioning, it is really follow your truth, follow that which you're, as you said, that stirring, that inner stirring.
Right.
Give some examples of how... ways that perhaps you've seen people. I know you also do coaching, so that's another thing people can contact you for.
Absolutely.
That as well. But some ways that you've noticed that, whether for yourself or people that you've worked with, that help unravel the conditioning or peel the conditioning back so that they can follow their true path.
Well, again, it's an understanding where that comes from, because once we understand where the conditioning and the programming comes from, it's a lot easier to unravel it. And the reason for that is that until you have an understanding of that it's man-made, you think that it's a part of you. It really feels like it's a part of you. So it goes back to, as children, we go to school, and in schools we learn these programs that it's a worthiness program, and it's like you either succeed or you fail, you're either right or you're wrong, you're either deserving or non-deserving, and this sets up these conditions in our lives. So in order to be deserving of something or worthy of something, you have to meet certain conditions, and that if you don't meet those conditions, then literally there's an intrinsic feeling that your survival is endangered. But does that piece make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
So that if the conditioning is not met, that you don't deserve or perhaps even won't have that which you're desiring.
So it's kind of like, if somebody, you look at it as an adult, and this is how it shows up as an adult, and that is if you don't, have the right job, drive the right car, listen to the right music, wear the right clothes, live in the right neighborhood, have your lawn manicured the right way, that there's a feeling of less than, there's a feeling of, unworthiness or undeservingness. So we've got all these conditions laid upon us. And the way that we unravel them is, again, first just being aware of that, and second, by making choices in the direction of worthiness. That, it's really funny because we try to prove our worthiness our entire lives, and it's really impossible because you can't prove something that you are. You are unconditionally worthy. We all are unconditionally worthy. So how do you prove something that you are? It's an illusion that we have to prove it, which is really, one of the cosmic jokes right here on Earth right now. And so once you start believing that, and here we'll take it from, the manifestation sequence. So right now we're talking about worthiness. So you take that as a concept. You take the concept, maybe I am worthy. And this is the unraveling piece, everybody. Okay, so maybe I am unworthy. And you think about that long enough, and it moves into a belief. Yeah, I believe that I'm worthy. Right? So concept, maybe I am worthy. Yeah, and then that moves into a belief. Yeah, I'm worthy. I believe I'm worthy, okay? But a belief is it's not strong enough. So you keep entertaining the belief, and I am worthy, I'm worthy. And you look for proof in the outside world that you're worthy instead of unworthy. So now you sought for worthiness instead of unworthiness, because with the old program and the old conditions, what you were doing was sorting for unworthiness, looking for proof that you're unworthy, and now you're looking for proof that you're worthy, and that can be anything. Yeah.
Wow. That's
anything.
Huge.
Yeah, it's really huge, and there's so much out there. I mean, you smile at somebody, and they smile back. Oh, there's more proof, you know, and you're reconditioning your mind to believe more and more that you're worthy. Of course, worthiness is unconditional, and if there's any kind of conditions on it, it's not worthiness, but we have to build up to that knowing of unconditionality, right? So we look for signs in the world, and we look for more and more signs that we're worthy. Meanwhile, we keep telling ourselves, yeah, I'm worthy unconditionally. I'm worthy. I'm just worthy. I am intrinsically worthy, and then eventually that belief moves into a knowing. I know I'm worthy. I know I'm worthy. And you know when you know you're worthy because it's this feeling inside, right? I know I'm worthy. You can feel it. And then you start playing with this. And it's a little technique that I love to do. So now it's not just a thought. And you can start this from the whole beginning of this conceptualization. I am worthy. You move it down into your heart. So you take the thought, I am worthy, and you just imagine that it moves down into your heart. And once it moves into your heart, it just expands through your whole heart, moving through your whole body, and then beyond your body, surrounding you, and it moves way, way out into the universe. So now it's not just a thought, it's an experience. I'm worthy. And that turns into a knowing. I am worthy. And then when there are choices to make in your life, you can make those choices based on the fact that you know that you are worthy. So instead of questioning your worth or looking to have to prove your worth in the world and taking jobs or having relationships or saying things or whatever it might be based on the fact that you need to prove you're worthy, now that you know that you're worthy, you can make a whole set of different decisions. And from those different decisions, you can make different choices. So now you've chosen worthiness.
Yeah, back to the choosing.
Exactly.
Everyone in the chat going, wow, can't believe it's almost over. They go, oh,
I know.
I know, it's
fun.
Yes, great. Great energy. We did have another question from Halo, back to the roadblocks. It's sometimes on your path, as she's saying, you're rolling along, and everything's okay, and then you hit a roadblock. Sometimes there can be a feeling of disconnection that this has happened. And any tips on this?
So if you've chosen and you find yourself hitting a roadblock, it might be time to re-choose. Because if you see it as a roadblock, maybe you really haven't chosen. When you really have chosen, everything that happens, you begin to see as opportunities. So all challenges become opportunities and miracles in disguise. So having said that, when you come across something that seems to be stopping you and you've already chosen, know that whatever it is actually there to support you in your path. Maybe it's to grow you and make you stronger, to help you become the person that you need to be to fulfill your destination, or maybe it's there to help guide you in a different way that is still on your path, or maybe it's there to wake you up to another possibility. But my suggestion would be not to see it as an obstacle, but to see it as an opportunity. So, you know, my philosophy is not one way, then another. It's not one way,
then
another.
Well, that's another thing. Perhaps the roadblock is saying there's an easier way. You know, I know for a fact, I myself right now look at all delays I have found are a form of protection from spirit. Mm-hmm. And not bad, but just something that maybe I don't have to have drama, trauma, or too much effort.
Right.
So maybe just walking around the roadblock or kick back a little bit, something's going to come through. You know,
look at it
from some journaling, meditation. Yeah, look at exactly.
Yeah.
Look
what
at it as another
roadblock.
Angle.
Yeah, what is this? Ask. What is this roadblock teaching me? What is that roadblock?
Yeah.
Talk to the roadblock. What's the roadblock name? Sam. Okay, the roadblock's name is Sam. Sam, why are you here? You know, what is it that you want to show me? What is it you want to teach me? What guidance and direction do you have for me? And just use your imagination and let the roadblock talk to you, and it will give you unlimited wisdom that you can't even believe.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so Tammy in the chat saying a divine redirection.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah.
This has been wonderful, Nennies. Joy to have you on Awakenings and share your insight and information and part of your path with us. We really appreciate you taking the time to be on the program.
Thank you. And I would like to offer a gift to all your listeners. And if you would like a copy of Lip Prints, which is my newest book, and that's the one about being the change that you'd like to see in the world, just email me and I'll send you a free digital copy. And you can get my email address either my website, nanise.com, or email me at nanise@nanise.com, and that's nanise@nanise.com, and just put free lip prints in the subject line, and I'll get that over to you.
Thank you. What a wonderful gift. So that's nanise@nanise.com.
Right.
For that gift of the book, and you can go to her website. There's tons of information on there. Wonderful tools, and again, also the Echo School for Coaching, the pilot program will be in session soon too as well. So some great resources there. Thanks again, Ennis.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's been awesome.
And thank you, listeners, for just being new and showing up in creating the space here. And until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake.